Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Get the very best of summer with Black Bear Diner's refreshing summer menu, here for a limited time only. Start the day with sweet cream pancakes with fresh strawberries and lemon cream. Or grab a fresh berry chicken salad for lunch. Dig into blackberry burned barbecue ribs for dinner and end with a fresh strawberry lemon cream pie. Pair any of these with a triple berry citrus spritzer or a summer sangria and you're set for summer flavor. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
So we have to create a culture where, people don't think of abortion as a solution anymore. People realize that this is harmful, not only to the unborn child, but to the mother, to the family, to everybody, when you choose violence in that situation.
This is your host, Scott Bertram, and that's Alexandra DeSantis. She is staff writer at National Review and a visiting fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Her brand new book is Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. We'll talk with Alexandra in a bit about the book and the aftermath of the Dobbs opinion. But first, we're joined by Dr. Gary Wolfram, William Simon Professor of Economics and Public Policy, Director of Economics and Professor of Political Economy at Hillsdale College. Dr. Wolfram, thanks for joining us once again.
Well, thank you for having me again. I always enjoy being on.
I want to talk with you today about the plan, the proposal by President Biden on student loan debt relief. And this has changed and shifted a bit. There are some on the left who want to eliminate all student loan debt, of course. The most recent proposal from the Biden administration appears to be something along the lines of $10,000 worth of debt per student loan. What are the merits or lack thereof of a policy like this?
Well, I think there's a number of things to think about, but one of which is, for example, Hillsdale College doesn't take student loans from the federal government, and that's because the government can come in and tell you what to teach and what you can't teach. We are independent, and so why the whole system of student loans has encouraged people to take on debt that they wouldn't otherwise have done. But also, if I am a university or a college that accepts these student loans, I will raise my tuition because now I know that a student's more likely to go ahead and pay the tuition. And so it builds the government into the education system more than it should be, right? I mean, education should be independent of your government, right? in addition, if I know that this debt is being forgiven, why wouldn't I think that, well, maybe in the future they're going to forgive all of it?
Mm-hmm.
And that will encourage me to take on more student loan debt. And in addition, what about the people who paid their loans back?
Right.
Let's say I worked an extra job while I was in school, or I decided that I was going to take a major in a different major, one that was more likely to have a rate of return that would pay off my debt. And somebody else says, "Hey, I'm not going to worry about it because I figure that the government is going to pay it all off."
Mm-hmm.
It really sets a bad precedent, and it moves us in the wrong direction.
So from a money perspective, from an economics perspective, this is about maybe $230 billion worth of student loan debt under the Biden plan, the $10,000 per borrower. What happens to that money? What happens to that debt? Where does it go?
Well, somebody has to pay it back, right? So it's either going to end up with taxpayers paying for it, which is generally the case, right? I mean, you and I are going to pay for it. And the people that never went to college are going to be paying for it. It could result in higher inflation because now they're selling, they're selling more government bonds, a little bit of intermediate macroeconomics to get through it. But basically, that will generally lead to higher inflation, and so we're either going to pay for it by individuals paying higher taxes or us being taxed by higher inflation.
Yeah, so on the inflation front, we of course know we're seeing the highest inflation in 40 plus years at this point. If more money is added into the economy via these payments not being paid, although they've been suspended since March of 2020, but if people end up having more money to spend, is that going to mean inflation actually will be worse in the future if the policy is implemented?
Well, the inflation will be worse, but again, it's a little more complicated than that, but it has to do with the government. If the government's out there not actually taxing us, but it's selling bonds, what's that going to do? Well, that will actually increase interest rates and all sorts of other issues that aren't politically popular. So what we've seen is the Federal Reserve has been buying up tons and tons and tons of this government debt that's been out there. Sort of getting off topic here, but that has resulted in a massive increase in the reserves of banks, and that's starting to be loaned out now.
Talking with Dr. Gary Wolfram about the Biden administration proposal to eliminate some student debt from Americans. You mentioned earlier that eventually who pays this is people who didn't go to college, trade workers perhaps, and you look at this as an investment perhaps. People invest in their college education hoping to have a payoff down the line and a better job, a more well-paying job. People who don't go to college invest perhaps in trucks or equipment or things with which to do their jobs, and now it's an additional tax placed upon them with no really for their investments.
That is correct. And what might happen is that, I have this student debt from going to law school, and then you forgive my student debt, and the person that's out there, driving a truck every day and having to be gone from their family and everything else, they're paying taxes in order to make it so that this person that is an attorney now and making, who knows more than I do, and their loan is forgiven. So it really redistributes income as well.
Are there constitutional questions? I know we usually talk economics with you. Are there constitutional questions about whether the president can even do this himself?
There are. George Leaf has written on this from the James Martin Center. He did a piece on this, and there is a real constitutional question about whether the president can just go out and forgive this debt to start with. Then there's clearly constitutional issues about that. I'm not an expert in whether this is constitutional or not, but I would recommend an article by George Leaf from the James Martin Center on whether this is constitutional or not.
Mentioned earlier, student loan payments have been suspended since the pandemic, March 2020, and they keep having deadlines and then extending that deadline into the future. If the president wants to,
could he extend it forever?
Well, is it a backdoor way of essentially eliminating debt by saying you don't have to pay it forever?
Yes. That is clearly a legal question. And as I said, there's definitely people on the side of the issue that says, no, this is not constitutional, and it probably wasn't constitutional for him to do what he did to start with. Again, I'm not a constitutional scholar, but, there are certainly people that are writing on this, and it's worth taking a look at.
If we were serious about addressing the problem and perhaps helping students who now find themselves with an enormous amount of debt and no real way to pay that back, are there policies that would make more sense? I've heard a little about making them, dischargeable in bankruptcies at this point. You can't do it, but maybe changing that law. Are there policies that make more sense?
Yes, there are. You could have bankruptcy laws. But again, if the government's the one that gave out the loan, then that would be, that wouldn't really solve the problem. again, I think what needs to be done is that you have some period of time where the government just gets itself out of providing student loans. Again, we've already set the system up, and so it would be difficult for, you know, some college or university, or let's say Ohio State University, to make that transition.
Mm-hmm.
But they could over time. And, you know, I think that's really the approach that needs to be done.
Dr. Gary Wolfram, William Simon Professor of Economics and Public Policy, Director of Economics and Professor of Political Economy at Hillsdale College. Dr. Wolfram, thanks for joining us on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, Alexandra DeSantis joins us. Her new book is Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822. Or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type, for your particular circumstance. finance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face-to-face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000, Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. You can get an email every time there's a new episode of the program. Go to radiohour.hillsdale.edu and click on the subscribe button. Enter your email address. That's radiohour.hillsdale.edu. We're joined now by Alexandra DeSantis. She is a visiting fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, a staff writer at National Review, and a co-author, along with Ryan Anderson, of the brand new book, Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. Alexandra, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
You had great timing with this book being released just after the Dobbs decision was handed down, the opinion handed down by the Supreme Court. This abortion issue and the effort to overturn Roe is something you've been working toward for a couple of years now. Others in the movement have been working for decades. How did this all happen?
Well, it's been 50 years now since almost exactly, I guess 49 years, almost 50 years since the court handed down its just abysmal decision in Roe v. Wade, creating an abortion on-demand regime across the entire country. And I think the simplest way to explain what happened, you know, that a complex history for sure, but the simplest way to explain it is that pro-lifers just didn't give up, right? They didn't take the court case as the final word, not by any means, and they spent 50 years lobbying, you know, grassroots organizations, voting for politicians who would appoint judges and justices who were, you know, knew that Roe was horrible constitutional law, and they just worked for decades, right? And as you said, my work has been just a very microcosm of this movement, just doing my tiny part over at National Review. But I have to tell you, it's very gratifying to be involved here at this particular moment. It's amazing to see Roe finally end.
We'll come back and talk a little later on about sort of the post-Dobbs world. First, talk about a few of the arguments here around the issue of abortion. Many on the pro-abortion side use the religion argument, saying, you know, you believe what you want, don't force your religious beliefs on me. Early in Tearing Us Apart, you say the basic case for the right to life of the unborn child rests on three theses, and none are religion. Biological, moral, political. Walk us through those three fairly quickly.
Yeah, so the basic idea is that every unborn child is a human being. This is not debatable, scientifically speaking. Biologically speaking, this is a human being. Morally speaking, you know, I think the only proper, just moral vision is that all human beings have a right to life, have, you know, innate dignity and worth. And once we start undermining that worth, we unfortunately start to see the kind of the dehumanization or devaluation of other human beings. You can't just, devalue the unborn and expect society to respect human life. That's not the way it works. We can't single out categories of human beings and pretend that some have worth and others don't. And then finally, a political thesis, which is that all just governments exist to protect the fundamental rights, the natural rights of those in them. And we know, as the first two points, show us, this is a human being, the unborn child is a human being and has moral worth. And so a just government would protect unborn children just like the rest of us. And no part of that requires being a Christian or, you know, a Muslim or any kind of believer. And it's not just Christian to believe in the moral worth of the unborn child.
A very popular argument we've heard since the Dobbs opinion was handed down, and previous to that too, of course, is this, well, there's sort of two, but they're the same argument. One is that the government can't force me to give birth, this forced pregnancy, forced birth argument, and connected to that, this argument about bodily autonomy we hear. Where are the flaws in those arguments?
Yeah, this all kind of comes from something we talk about a bit in the book, which is the kind of infamous Judith Jarvis Thompson, a moral philosopher, her essay in favor of abortion back in 1971. She acknowledged that the unborn child might be a human being, that it might even be a moral person, but women's rights to bodily autonomy or to control their own body supersede any right that the child in the womb might have. And she compared the child to if you were hooked up to a violinist, a famous violinist, and you had to be connected to him to be alive, you would be, it would be more like acceptable to detach yourself because you don't have an obligation to sustain his life. So as we point out in the book, this actually doesn't, that's not a good analogy for pregnancy at all, because in the overwhelming majority of cases, every unborn child comes into the world because of a free choice that his mother and father made, right? And so to detach from the child at that point would be to violate or deny your moral obligation to care for your own child. And not only can we not kill strangers, not only is it morally wrong to kill strangers, but it's especially morally wrong for parents to kill their children because they have a particular duty to care for them.
Alexandra DeSantis is with us. The book is Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. Each chapter has a different sort of slice of the harm abortion creates. Abortion harms women and the family is the second large chapter in the book. It warps the view, our view of children. It warps our view of men and relationships. How does abortion harm those factors?
I think that the main problem, the fundamental harm of abortion is that a human being's life is taken, it's a human being's life. But it also really distorts the relationship between men and women and the way we think that relationship should go, right? It places kind of the burden of pregnancy fully on women. It says, okay, sometimes men walk away from sex, walk away from pregnancy, and get away with it. They fail to take responsibility for their actions and for their child. And so, therefore, women should be able to do the same, right? Abortion kind of empowers women to walk away from sex, to walk away from its consequences in the same way that men are able to do. And I think this kind of solution, in quotes, is not actually a solution at all, right? Instead of saying men should kind of step up to the plate, take care of the mothers of their children, take care of their children, we say let's enable women to be as irresponsible as the most immature men lacking in virtue, right? So the whole kind of structure of the family, the relationship between men and women, is undermined by this notion that women should enact violence against their children.
Alexandra, the abortion harms women argument in the book, you reference the Gosnell case, the Gosnell trial in Philadelphia, for those who perhaps don't remember, very grisly late-term abortionist in Philadelphia with horrifically unsanitary conditions and keeping sort of souvenirs of his kills in his office, just a horrible case. What impact do you think that Gosnell case and trial had on the movement overall? I know of a number of people, more than most incidents, this one seemed to sort of solidify and maybe take people from, yeah, I guess I'm pro-life, to, oh my goodness, I'm committed to this cause at this point after seeing what is really happening out there.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And it's funny that you bring it up, because that was actually a really kind of momentous occasion for me as a young pro-lifer. I was in college when that trial was unfolding. And I'd always been pro-life and I always wanted to be a writer, but I just remember kind of watching that whole thing unfold was deeply, it deeply affected me. It kind of made me double down on my desire to do something about this, right? Abortion is just a scourge. And not only is it horrific that, what was happening to unborn babies there and born babies, right? He would sometimes deliver babies alive and then, kill them with scissors. I'm sorry for being grisly, but just would kill children outside the womb, which is, of course, as morally wrong as abortion, but especially disgusting. And certainly illegal. But the women in his clinics were treated poorly, too, right? There was a woman who died, at least one woman who died as a result of his unsanitary and unsafe practices in his clinic. And I think for a lot of people, this was the catalyst for looking into abortion clinics and realizing, look, a lot of these places are not actually safe. And abortion is billed as this kind of clean, sanitary, good thing for women. And in fact, that's not actually how it unfolds some amount of the time. And abortion supporters are not willing to acknowledge that.
Alexandra DeSantis is with us. The book Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. We continue our conversation after this. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Tutankhamun, Wonderful Things, Treasures from the Pharaoh's Tomb is open now through September 5th in Reading at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures. Presented by Senator Kay Maurice and Marianne Johannesson in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. This exhibition is included with paid park admission, free for Turtle Bay members. Tutankhamun, Wonderful Things, Treasures from the Pharaoh's Tomb, open now through September 5th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking with Alexandra DeSantis. Her new book is Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing, co-written by Ryan Anderson. Alexandra, we've been walking through these harms that abortion causes. Abortion harms medicine. That's another chapter here in the book, Tearing Us Apart. I don't know the percentage, but certainly a good number of abortions are because of some fetal diagnosis, some prognosis given by doctors to the parents. What do we know? There's this New York Times story, I think, earlier this year, late in 21. What do we know about how accurate some of those tests are and how often some of them are actually wrong?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is a great point and a very sad issue. There was a piece, I think it was in late 2021 maybe or earlier this year, that The New York Times found that among kind of prenatal diagnosis tests for some of the more severe and life-threatening conditions that can be diagnosed in the womb, they can be wrong more than 90% of the time, which means that more than 90% of the time when these tests come back positive, parents are being told falsely that their child is almost certainly going to die or has some kind of life-threatening condition. And many of these parents end up choosing abortion, which, of course, is not a solution to any kind of fetal diagnosis or illness. But they're choosing it under false pretenses. And we know, tests for conditions like Down syndrome, for example, are not as inaccurate, but they certainly can be inaccurate. And it just kind of feeds into this culture where doctors encourage women to kill their unborn children when they get some sort of unfortunate diagnosis back. And it's really a significant way in which kind of the logic of abortion has poisoned our medical system.
You say abortion harms the media. We talk a lot about the media here on the program. I think about this in the context of the quote-unquote Don't Say Gay bill in Florida. You saw how quickly media members jumped to adopt the language of opponents. And yet when we have these heartbeat bills across the country, the media does not take that at face value. In fact, they have these explainers. They talk to quote-unquote experts that say, well, it's just cardiac activity and pulsing electrical cells. It's not really a heartbeat. And you look at Kate Smith, who went from CBS as a national reporter straight to Planned Parenthood as a PR representative there. What harm does abortion do to the media and Americans' trust in the media?
Yeah, I think this is a really crucial issue when it comes to the pro-life movement, especially the future of the pro-life movement. There's no overstating the harm that it does to have essentially every major media organization in the tank for abortion. And I can't say, you know, whether it's just pure ignorance or laziness or actual commitment to the pro-abortion cause, but I do know that having covered this now for more than 5 years, when I look at pretty much any report from a mainstream organization on abortion, there are, you know, inconsistencies, inaccuracies all the time. And they, you know, go out of their way to cover for the pro-abortion side and go out of their way to undermine any argument that the pro-life side might be making. You get the example of heartbeat bills. That's an excellent one. With the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, the coverage was crazy, right? They acted as though some kind of anti-abortion bill when, in fact, all it did was require doctors to give care to infants who survived an abortion. So it really is, the disparity is crazy. And to think that this is how people are shaping their opinions, you know, through this type of coverage, it really explains why people don't know the truth about abortion. It's very difficult to find.
Let's talk now about post-Dobbs. We are now in a post-Dobbs world as the Supreme Court has handed down its opinion on that case, overturning Roe and Casey. You and Brian argued that the next step here is to not just make it illegal, at least in some states, but also unthinkable. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think this has been the goal of the pro-life movement for a long time. And the thinking is, you know, we can and should fight for laws that recognize the humanity of the unborn child, that protect women. And, you know, that's a very important, prominent goal of our movement. And as much as we can stop abortion from happening, we should. But it's also true that culture matters and what people believe about abortion matters. And if women who are pregnant, you know, unexpectedly or are in some kind of situation where having another child is difficult or, you know, causes some kind of suffering or whatever the case might be, if they live in a culture where abortion is acceptable and kind of a solution to problems, that's what the laws are going to say, right? Or people are going to be looking for abortion no matter what the law says. And so we have to create a culture where, you know, people don't think of abortion as a solution anymore. People realize that this is harmful, not only to the unborn child, but to the mother, to the family, to everybody, when you choose violence in that situation. So we have to foster a culture where women in that position feel empowered to choose life.
Since Dobbs, we've seen a number, dozens of corporations putting out statements, sending emails to employees saying that they will pay employees, reimburse them travel costs to go to different states, up to $4,000 to travel to have abortions. What does it say about our corporate culture and those values that they're not encouraging birth and they're not encouraging adoption, but are in fact giving money away for abortions?
Yeah, this is something we talk about a bit in the book, although at the time we were writing it, it wasn't even as bad as it is now. I mean, in the wake of this decision, we've seen a number of companies, a number of new companies pledge to cover abortion travel costs. And I think it's really telling, right? There's probably some number of companies where the people in charge of decision-making are just committed abortion supporters. But my guess is in the overwhelming majority of cases, they want to, A, virtue signal as if they're supportive of women, but B, and more important, it's cheaper for them to cover abortion costs, right? Think about the cost of keeping a mother in the workplace. It involves, you know, covering her prenatal care, covering labor and delivery, paying for her maternity leave, for paid family leave, maybe for fathers. It's a lot cheaper to cover, you know, a woman going to get an abortion and being done with the matter than it is to be an actually pro-life, pro-woman company that supports the choice for life. And so I think that's why you're seeing this kind of plug for abortion funding rather than the other way around.
Alexandra, these crisis pregnancy centers across the country are going to play a big role in between the leak of the opinion and the actual issuance of the opinion. We saw dozens attacked, vandalized, some firebombed across the country. On the left, the pro-abortion movement is very focused on these crisis pregnancy clinics. They want Google to take them out of their searches. They say they're liars and they're misrepresenting themselves. What is the left's big problem and the pro-abortion movement's big problem with crisis pregnancy centers?
I think the bottom line is crisis pregnancy centers help women choose life, right? They exist to tell women you have an option other than abortion. And if a pregnant woman goes into a Planned Parenthood, she's not going to walk out of there choosing life for her baby. Now, it happens, but it's certainly not going to happen because of anything she's told in there, right? She's told, how are you going to do this? You know, you need an abortion. That's what goes on in abortion clinics. What happens in a crisis pregnancy center is, you can do this, right? You can be a mother. We will support you. What do you need to choose life? How can we help you? And so if your bottom line is, let's kind of get women in and out for abortions, pregnancy resource centers undermine that model. And we hear a lot from abortion supporters about, you know, pro-lifers don't support babies after birth. They don't support women. All they care about is children in the womb. Pregnancy resource centers undermine that lie, right? Thousands of them across the country.
Alexandra DeSantis with us. The book is Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. Dobbs, of course, returns this question to the states. If you are in deep blue states like Illinois and California, nothing's going to change. In fact, politicians there talking about going further, talking about offering state money to essentially fund abortion tourism, reimbursing people to come to their state for abortions. What kind of patience and incrementalism will it take in these states to make a difference in these coming years?
Ryan and I write a lot about this in the conclusion, and our kind of overarching point is that as long as all pro-lifers are united in the goal of making abortion illegal and unthinkable, we have to have a lot of room for charity and prudence and patience as we work towards that goal. Because, you know, what the strategy looks like in California today is very different from what it looks like in Mississippi. And as much as we all want to see a country where, you know, unborn children are protected from the moment of conception and everybody understands that life is a beautiful gift and wants to support families in choosing life, that's not where we are. And we live in a country where we're going to have to fight to that end through the democratic process. And so I think we have to, you know, be realistic about where we are today and be realistic about what it's going to take to get there. And incrementalism has gotten us very far. And I wish it had happened faster, of course. But look where we are today because of that work. And I think we can get very far with that kind of prudence and charity.
Alexandra DeSantis, she is visiting fellow with the Ethics and Public Policy Center, a staff writer at National Review. And the brand new book is Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing, co-written along with Ryan Anderson. Alexandra, thank you so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, Corey Moss from Hillsdale's History Department joins us once again to talk about the life and work of the philosopher and theologian Erasmus. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Whether you are traveling to or from the lake or river or on vacation, even off to a barbecue this summer, spruce up your ride at Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
He's going to become influential down to our own day. And he has a very famous controversy involving the question of free will with Martin Luther and is therefore bound up with this whole Reformation movement.
We'll talk more on this episode about his work. And if people are aware of one of his writings, it's probably In Praise of Folly.
Almost certainly, yes.
And so what is that about?
What is that about? That's a good question. So what it is it's, as the title says, In Praise of Folly. It's modeled on a classical Greek kind of satire. And interestingly enough, as those who have read it and perhaps read any kind of editor's introduction will know, the title is actually a pun on the name of Thomas More. So it could be translated Praise of Folly or Praise of More. And the Greek satirist Lucian, More and Erasmus had been translating. So this is all kind of an inside joke. He tells us in a later letter that he wrote the whole thing in just a few days while he was staying with Thomas More, waiting for his books to arrive so that he could do more serious things. And in the same letter, in which he's responding to some criticism of the work, he says, I almost wish I hadn't written it. And so he always considers it, strangely enough, one of his lesser works. But as you say, if people know the writings of Erasmus, this is the one that they know.
Why did it then catch people's attention at the time?
Really good question. His fellow humanists, of course, enjoy it because it's just shot through with these classical allusions. But it also touches a nerve because part of what Lady Folly is doing is poking fun at late medieval religiosity, late medieval piety, which someone like Erasmus often described with a word such as superstition, pointing up the foibles of the monks, the theologians. And so there's quite a lot of this going around, not only in humanist circles, but very soon to be seen in sort of Protestant reform circles. So his finger is on the pulse in ways perhaps that he doesn't recognize. If I recall correctly, within a year it goes through something like six editions.
Is this unexpected, that type of writing, those themes, is that unexpected from Erasmus at the time?
It's not really. He's been interested in educational reform, the classics, and classical writing styles, which the Praise of Folly is written in. So I don't think it's terribly unexpected. It might be unexpected only in this sense, that it's not the kind of sort of serious scholarly work that Erasmus is otherwise known for at the time.
You mentioned education. What does In Praise of Folly say about classical learning, about education?
I'm gonna make a confession right here. I haven't actually read it through cover to cover in quite some time, but Erasmus is a huge fan, makes it sound trite, but of classical education. I mean, this is part of his more or less standard humanist critique of contemporary education, is that it's not concerned with classical literature, classical methodology, and he really hopes to improve European letters as a means of improving European piety.
Why has the book hung on? Why is it still read today?
Because it remains funny. and because of the connection with Thomas More.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of inside joke with More, but More's utopia, so if for those who have read anything by Thomas More, it's almost certainly the utopia rather than, for example, some of his polemical work.
Mm-hmm.
The utopia can be read in a similar fashion as a kind of response to, a kind of winking back at the Praise of Folly. But they both also remain popular simply because they're far more complicated than they might appear.
Mm-hmm.
In both the Utopia and in the Praise of Folly, I mean, you have to be very careful about attempting to discern, is this person actually speaking for Erasmus or for Thomas More? And so kind of trying to figure that out is constantly engaging.
Talking with Dr. Corey Moss, Associate Professor of History at Hillsdale College, about Erasmus. The other piece of work, or the work of his life, that's quite important is his translations.
That's right.
Of the New Testament, correct?
Correct.
What is he, I mean, not translating, but what is he doing?
Yeah, well, this is part of what I mentioned earlier, the reform of letters for the sake of reforming the church. He is convinced, being a scholar of Greek and classical Latin, that the translation of the New Testament that the church has been using for 1,000 years now could be improved. Partly that's simply stylistic, but partly it's also, he thinks, that some errors have crept in, either in the process of translation or because that Latin edition wasn't working with the best kind of manuscripts, mm-hmm, of Christian antiquity. So he does two things. He puts together a kind of critical edition of the Greek text based on a comparison of Greek manuscripts that still were extant at the time. And then he translates that Greek into Latin and makes some updates, corrections, etc. along the way.
What are those changes, adjustments, that make it such an important translation?
Well, that depends, I suppose, on the focus. So if we want to talk about the way that Erasmus might have unwittingly and unintentionally paved the way for the Reformation, some of the things that draw attention are, for example, when Jesus famously says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near," that's what you would read in most modern English translations. A more literal English translation of the Latin that was in use at the time would be, "Do penance." And Erasmus notices that the Greek doesn't actually mean do penance, like give alms, go on pilgrimage, that sort of thing. It means have a change of mind, have a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he translates that into Latin, he uses a Latin term that more accurately reflects that. And I mean, that's the sort of thing that people criticize him. His fellow churchmen at the time criticize him because they're worried that if you cast doubt upon the Bible that the church has been using for 1,000 years, you cast doubt upon the authority of the church itself.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you may have inadvertently helped set off the Reformation by doing these translations.
Yeah, that's right.
What was his goal? I mean, why did he think that he could be the one to translate this in a better way than anyone else in the past 1,000 years?
That is a really good question, and it's a question that he is constantly asked by his critics. critics of Martin Luther often asked him, you know, who do you think you are to know better than the church for the last 1,000 years? They asked Erasmus exactly the same question. With Erasmus, though, it was a bit more pointed, and this goes back to sort of pre-Reformation controversies between humanists and scholastic theologians. To put it in contemporary terms, humanists were often viewed as, you know, sort of literary critics. You know, in a modern university, they'd be in the English department.
Mm-hmm.
But those who studied scripture were in the theology department. And so there was a kind of turf war. You know, not only who are you to think you might know better than the ages, but who are you, you know, an English professor, to think that you can do theology.
Mm.
So he's asked that, and his response is basically, well, I'm the one who actually knows the original languages and has found the manuscripts. So that's who.
Dr. Corey Moss, Associate Professor of History at Hillsdale College, talking about Erasmus. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks for having me.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Gary Wolfram from Hillsdale's Economics Department, talking about the possibility of student loan debt relief, student loan debt cancellation from the federal government. Alexandra DeSantis joined us. Her brand new book is Tearing Us Apart. And Corey Moss from Hillsdale's History Department with more on Erasmus. You can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find us on Twitter at Hillsdale Radio or on Facebook. Email us radiohour@hillsdale.edu. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Locally owned and operated for 26 years, La Cabana at 1335 Market Street invites you to stop by and enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday, La Cabana serves traditional dishes including tamales, enchiladas, quesadillas, and burritos. They also have combination plates. Dine in or take out. La Cabana, 1335 Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 530-242-1915.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Owens is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Owens provides top-quality respiratory products and services throughout the North State and Northern Nevada. Products include oxygen therapy featuring the small and portable oxygen concentrators, CPAP machines, and a team focused specifically on providing ongoing CPAP supplies to help you get the best sleep possible. Owens has been in business since 1979 and has been Joint Commission accredited since 2003, allowing them to care for patients in our community when they need them the most. Contact Owens at 1-800-MY-OWENS. That's 1-800-696-9367.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.